Ladies and gentlemen, the Victorian charity in Silicon Valley, Robin Spinks.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you very much, everyone. Who else is feeling really energized by the conversation today? Put your hand up if you're feeling energized and you're in the room. It's just, I think it's just been amazing, honestly, as a starter. We're just getting into it. So I wanted, as Dave said, to talk to you a bit about the Victorian charity in Silicon Valley. That's the title I came up with because lots of people don't expect that a charity that's over 150 years old might be active in Silicon Valley, and are kind of unaware of some of the stuff that we've done and are doing. And I thought it would be really useful to just talk a little bit about that and to talk about some of the kind of industry transitions that we're either part of right now or that we've facilitated in recent years. Because when people think about R&IB, they might think about SUTI, they might think about Talking Books, flagship service, but they might think about our ECLOs, which are our eye clinic liaison officers, over 100 of them spread around the UK in hospitals, and they're the first point of contact when someone's diagnosed with sight loss. Imagine being told when you go to an appointment, there's nothing more that can be done for you. I'm really sorry. Some of us have been told that, and it's devastating. And the ECLO's job really is to pick that person up and allow them to have hope and optimism for the future. And just to let them recognize that you can live a great life as a person with sight loss, you absolutely can. You've just got to get access to the right support and the right connections. But a big bit of our work has been about how do you catalyze action and how do you enable industries to make changes? And I wanted to just speak about some of those. So the evolution of the World Wide Web feels like a long time ago that the web really started to become a big part of our lives. And actually, you might not know that R&IB was right at the beginning of the conversation about how could the internet become accessible to blind people. We were right at the beginning of that conversation. We were active on standards groups. We were actually talking to assistive technology companies and really trying to push forward access to the web. And we continue to do that through the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines and commenting on drafts and on standards. So we've been put into that over a very, very long time. The transition to digital television. You know, I joined R&IB in 2009, and it was incredible. We were having conversations at that time with television manufacturers in Japan and in Korea. And they were saying to us, listen, really sorry, guys, we love your cause. We love what you're saying about, you know, text speech on TVs, but it ain't happening. We're not doing it. I'm sorry, it's just too difficult, right? Fast forward to today, and they're all competing with one another. Who's got the best screen reader on a TV? Who's got the best magnification? What's the best user experience? Because it's possible. It's actually doable. And once people can see how it might be possible, how it might become sustainable, and also we can work in collaboration to make it happen, you know, great things are possible. Talking ATMs, again, we were right at the forefront of that conversation in the UK to look at how ATMs could talk, because, you know, if you walk up to a cash machine, it surely can't be right that you need to use your eyesight to take out money. You don't. There's a headphone jack, plug in your headphones, and all of a sudden, the physical keypad on the cash machine becomes an interface that allows you to interact with the machine and undertake a transaction. The transition from physical keypads to touch screens. Again, when I joined R&IB, we were actually seeing really prominent members of the blind and partially sighted community, some people that I know and love, who were absolutely irate at the emergence of touchscreens, because they said, look, that's going to rob us of our independence and our freedom. Totally understandable perspective, but look what happened. Look at what happened in that industry. You know, Apple launched the world's first gesture-based screen reader on the iPhone in 2009. That gave us great leverage to work with the rest of the industry at the time to look at how we could get a comparable accessibility framework on other platforms. And today, even if you buy the cheapest Android phone, it's got a screen reader baked into it. It's got magnification baked into it. The customer expectation is that the experience will be accessible. It's not is it accessible? It's the expectations there that it will be. And that's a massive transition. Audio description on TV and film. Sonali Rai, who's a superstar in the field of audio description and broadcast media. Sonali has worked tirelessly with that industry to create some amazing changes that have secured greater access to TV and to audio description. And it's a real privilege to work closely with Sonali. Also embracing and leveraging mainstream technology developments. This is critical for us. We're seeing a lot of developments in AI and in machine learning and computer vision. This is absolute gold dust for us. So we're working right now with an outfit that do basically world-class conversational AI. It's truly incredible. And we're building a tool that will take that further forward to enable people to benefit day to day in every aspect of their lives. We're at an early stage, but there's a huge opportunity to make a difference. So, you know, clearly RNIB's had a role as being a catalyst for change. We've done so much influencing. You know, I've been in so many kind of head offices showing people what is possible to do with the screen reader. And it just takes a bit of imagination and a little bit of kind of let's turn the position around that a company has in terms of the way that they look at things. You know, Apple's a really interesting example. A prominent shareholder in Apple, this is public information, by the way, you know, asked the question at a board meeting, how much does it actually cost to have voiceover on the Apple platform? Right, what does it cost in dollars? And the response to the question is absolutely spectacular, because the response was, if you genuinely want to know the answer to that question, we would suggest that you sell your Apple stock, because you've invested in the wrong business. We do this because it's just and it's right, okay? And people can say all sorts of things about compliance, and that's clearly a big factor, but actually there's a spirit that's about doing things because of the right thing to do. And I think when you can get leadership teams to see that, amazing things happen. Very briefly, I'm going to tell you about some of the companies we're working with and have worked with. So Samsung, we mentioned, we've been working with their television division for about 8 years now, and year on year, the accessibility of the product improves and evolves and responds to customer feedback. It's not static. It's very dynamic as the product grows and develops. We were delighted last year to launch with Google and The Guardian a product called Auditorial, and that really sought to try and basically identify what would an amazing reading experience look like for people with low vision. It's now won 29 awards around the world. Google continue to submit it for awards. But you know, what we were doing is we were saying, what could you do if you didn't need to think about standards, but instead you needed to think about a great user experience? We've also worked with Apple Retail and with Lime, the e-bike and e-scooter company, and The Guardian, I mentioned, the Celtic Collection, they're a hotel group. And again, this is all about how can we create an inclusive experience for the customer. We brought to market the first washing machine with features designed for blind users 2 years ago, working with Miele, a great German brand. We also continue to work with Lego on an amazing project that's all about Lego Braille bricks and education for blind and partially sighted children, but also for teachers and support workers. And then last but not least, the Body Shop. How do you take the digital assets and make them more accessible to people? So, you know, that gives you a very, very quick hop through some of the companies, some of the collaborations that we've been involved in. But, you know, one of the things that they've kind of got in common is they're all about securing a better user experience, and they're all about achieving inclusion. You know, some observations for us, we can't do it alone. Collaboration is absolutely critical to success. And innovative partnerships with universities and commercial companies are absolutely key. We've recently been awarded funding for a project working with Imperial College London and also a Turkish startup called WeWalk. And what we're doing is we're basically creating a smart cane that leverages artificial intelligence and scene detection to create a better mobility aid for blind people. That's a tall order. Now, the company themselves couldn't do it on their own. The university couldn't do it on their own. We certainly couldn't do it on our own. But when we come together and we form, you know, a triage like that, university, business startup, and Victorian charity in Silicon Valley, those three things come together, great things become possible. So, you know, for us, we're absolutely convinced that three-way partnerships with universities and companies are potentially the key for lots of these challenges, not least because we need academic rigor and we need standing in terms of academic institutions and research, but we also need company know-how and problem-solving ability. And how do you take the challenges that people have day to day and look at what's possible to do and respond to those in a responsible, sustainable way? How do you do it? It's possible. You know, it never seems possible when you're kind of looking in and thinking, oh my God, you know, how do we resolve that challenge? It's daunting. You know, I love this acronym. It's a BHAG. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of a BHAG, but it's a big, hairy, audacious goal. Right. And I think we're on the cusp of a number of BHAGs in terms of accessible gaming. But it becomes possible, you know, and I think the examples I've given you today in this presentation show that actually we were told initially, no can do, you can't do this, we can't sustainably and economically deliver accessibility. And look what happened. It happened. It became a reality. And actually it delivered. If you take touchscreen phones, it's actually ended up delivering more accessibility. I think Ben alluded to this earlier. It's delivered more accessibility for people than what it replaced. Who would have thought it? You know, button-based interface, there's a predictability, but does it let you explore the screen as a sighted person would? No, it doesn't. So, you know, there are lots of interesting observations from those transitions. I think there are three big things happening also that we need to keep in mind. I've mentioned the rollout of artificial intelligence, computer vision. That is galloping forward at an immeasurable rate. And we ignore it at our peril because it offers us a tremendous range of opportunities. Connectivity, 5G, gradually beginning to change things. Is it the game changer that everyone told us it was going to be? Probably not. It's maybe more of an incremental creep. The Internet of Things is changing the way that people experience all sorts of services, and it can enable greater home, school and workplace accessibility. And I think it can continue to do things for gaming, thinking about all those connected devices that we've got around us. Now, I'm mindful that I'm the person that's keeping you from a lovely cold beer or glass of wine, G&T or soft drink or whatever you fancy. So with that, I'm going to wrap up and I'm going to say that I think creativity and collaboration and innovative partnerships, that's got to be the way forward. Thank you very much.